Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slobberknocker Talk with Austin Neely. It's been a long week. Some crazy things happened. A lot of my predictions weren't right for this week, and it happens. It's all good. We're going to start it off with the Steelers versus the Browns. I thought maybe the Steelers could pull this off. You know, issues with Trubisky. Everyone's saying they need to bench him and start Pickett. Al is all for it, but he played a solid game. He just wasn't as good as the Browns' defense or offensively. The Browns take it with a win of 29-17. Bills versus Dolphins. This was an in-between game of everyone in the house. It was split 50-50. Bills-Dolphins. Two people were voting for one. Two people were voting for the other. I was rooting for the Dolphins, and the Dolphins took it. 21-19. Both teams played exceptional. Like I said last week, both teams are going to sit at the top of the AFC for a while. Probably the whole year. Bengals versus Jets. This one took me surprise. I was really waiting for the Jets to do another good game. Doubtedly, though, it didn't help happen. The Bengals won 27-12. Jets still played good. They're not a laughingstock this year. They're contenders. They're not really good contenders, but they're not going to be at the bottom of the food chain this year. Raiders versus Titans. Another split decision in the house. I was going for Raiders. I was really hoping the Titans were going to go in a losing streak. Maybe not be a top team in the AFC. Maybe they're coming with a comeback. You never know. This year's all crazy with the drafts and the free pickups and everything that has happened in the offseason and currently going on now. Titans took it with a win 24-22. One of the closest games this whole week. Next game, Saints versus Panthers. Living in South Carolina. Obviously everyone in the house, Panthers fan. Panthers took it 22-14. Mayfield finally gets that win with his new team. Let's just hope he can keep it going like he did with the Browns 2 years prior. Ravens versus Patriots. This one could have went either way. Lamar Jackson leads the AFC and NFL in touchdowns. Most rushing yards as a quarterback. Right now he's MVP status without being the MVP. Mac Jones, good arm, good weapons, good running back, good coach. The Ravens still took it, though, with a 37-26 win. Not really surprising, but like I said, could have went either way. Patriots looking good, just not as good as the Brady-Belichick era with Gronkowski. All those players that Brady's had, Edelman, it's just not the same. Jones has to find that chemistry with the team like Brady did. Lions versus Vikings. I was hoping for the Lions to do another upset win, but the Vikings took it with a 28-24 win. Both teams not really good offensively, defensively, just enough to get them their touchdowns, not really make any big decision plays like walk-away victory plays or anything of the sort. No heavy running, no heavy receiving. Just a very good game to watch with nothing surprising. Good old-fashioned football, how it should be. Eagles versus Washington. This makes me happy, being from PA. Eagles are picking up the slack that the Steelers not. Right now they're 3-0. The only other team to do that right now is the Dolphins. So I'm saying the Eagles are going to be top of the NFC with the Dolphins on the AFC. But Eagles beat Washington 24-8. They just played a game on a whole different level than Washington. I give props to Washington for coming out and trying to do it with a new name, new quarterback, new coach. Basically, that whole team is young studs. There's no one on that team except for Terry McLaurin, but he can't carry the whole team. Chiefs versus Colts. What happened with this game? Everyone knew the Chiefs could do it, but somehow the Colts, led by Matt Ryan, squeaked out with a 20-17 victory over the Chiefs. I'm just baffled by that. Texans versus Bears. Texans aren't going to compete with one of the top teams in the NFC. Bears take it 23-20. Bears slowly rebuilding, but their defense is still strong enough to keep them winning games. The next game really surprised me. Jags versus Chargers. My lovely wife says the Jags are going to be top of the NFC this year, and the way they're going with the 2-1, beating a good AFC Chargers with a way of this win of 38-10, you don't really see the Chargers get dominated like that. So good job for the Jags. Hopefully everything keeps going good for Trevor Lawrence, and maybe he will have his breakout year a year after, just like Joe Burrow did. Rams versus Cardinals could have went either way in the NFC. Both teams good. Kyler Murray, D-Hop. You got Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and a bunch of other big names on the Rams and Cardinals, both sides. Rams took it 20-12. Murray's just not looking as good as he did the last 2 years. Nothing wrong with that. It could be a rebuild season. He could just be in the slumps. You never know. Could come back and lead the team to the undefeated the rest of the season, minus the losses they already have. Packs versus Bucks. Packs have Aaron Rodgers, another legendary quarterback with the number 12. Bucks have Tom Brady. Anytime these two play together, it's always a chess match. Whoever gets the lead between the two teams usually can hold it most of the game. Just because those two have played against each other enough in the last 2 years to know. And in my opinion, Rodgers, once Brady steps down, if Rodgers continues to play, or even this year, he could pass Brady's records. But the Packs took it 14-12. It just came down to whoever had the most points and who could win the chess match. Falcons versus Seahawks. This one was a surprising win. Falcons 27-23. Both teams, I'm not familiar with them heavily. Not really two teams I like to look at. But so far, they're looking good. They're adequate. They're subpar. They're going to be medium of the food chain in their division. Finally, 49ers versus Broncos. I was rooting for the 49ers. Broncos, I'm just not a big fan. I like them. They have good players, good defense, and they're known for their defense and their players. They're also known for the Manning era when he led them to the Super Bowl, and that's fine. But the Broncos took it 11-10. Very disappointing to me, anyways. The first thing I want to touch on this week is the Chiefs versus the Colts game. Back to what happened. Let's break it down offensively. Patrick Mahomes, one of the more accurate quarterbacks, usually 300, 400-yard games every game. He didn't seem as good as he normally is. Patrick Mahomes had 20 of 35 completions to attempts ratio, 262 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Anyone who's watched him the last 3 or 4 years knows interceptions for him are very rare. He is one of the least picked off quarterbacks, I believe, 2 years ago. He's just able to make those plays and not get pressured. Somehow he was. McKinnon, the running back, 7 carries, 20 yards with a 2.9 average. If you saw that your running back was not able to get yards on 7 carries, why were you running him? Why weren't you using your wide receivers? Because the way it was looking with the wide receiver stats, they could have beat the Colts with their wide receivers not running. Juju Smith-Schuster, he came from the Steelers. Good deep threat. 5 receptions, 89 yards, 17.8 average, and 0 touchdowns. I know he didn't get touchdowns, but the 5 receptions, 89 yards, he was averaging 17 yards a catch. That's catching and running, laying down someone, making them move. Mahomes' favorite weapon, Travis Kelce, 4 receptions, 58 yards, 14.5 average, and 1 touchdown. The only touchdown by throwing. Don't know what happened there. Don't really know why Kelce wasn't as good as he normally is, why Mahomes wasn't able to hit him on those sneaky routes that they always do, but still better than the running game. Should have just kept going with the passing. Valais Scantling, 4 receptions, 48 yards, 12 average. These numbers are showing that these wide receivers can make the holes and run. What surprises me is the Chiefs' kicker. How do you miss a field goal under 26 yards? He was 1-2, 50% completion ratio, and his longest field goal of the game was 26 yards. How did you miss the one closer than that? Or if it was 26, how? I don't understand that. You're playing for a Chiefs team that is known to win, to have comebacks, to be able to lead the field the whole time they're on it and not give the other team a chance to score or even get anywhere offensively. So question is for that kicker, can you fix your mistake for future games? Or is Mahomes and Andy Reid going to have to change how they do the offensive plays? Maybe talk to the coordinator, see if Mahomes' magic can come back. For the Colts side of offense, Matt Ryan was slightly more accurate with 27-37, so he only needed 10 incompletions, less yards of 222 yards, and 2 touchdowns. What helped the Colts was Taylor. He had 21 carries, 71 yards, 3.4 average. That's not a lot. I know this. But he was able to get the yardage. They were able to drag on the downs to where the Chiefs could not make defensive plays to get the ball back and have Mahomes take control of that field like he normally does. Michael Pittman Jr., 8 receptions, 72 yards, 9-point average. Good stats there. He was able to grab it and run every time. Pierce, 3 receptions, 61 yards, 20.3 average. Hines, another running back they have, 5 receptions, 23 yards, 4.6 average. To me, what it looked like the Colts were doing, they were being more accurate, more precise, doing those little baby throws to where the defense could not do zone or man-to-man and just get those interceptions that we know the Chiefs defense can do. Woods had 2 receptions, 13 yards, 6.5 averages. He had the 2 touchdowns thrown by Matt Ryan. In my personal opinion, Colts just had a more productive and accurate offense. The rushing game was better on every aspect for them, and Matt Ryan just used more of his weapons. I only focused on 4 of them, but he hit almost all of his wide receivers, all of his running backs. The man was just dropping bombs on everyone. Game number 2 I'm going to focus on, and I know I've been preaching the Dolphins, but I'm going to do it anyways again this week. I believe in Tua, and I believe in this young team. They're new, and a lot of them haven't played together, and they're making it work. Tua was 13 for 18. He had 5 incompletes out of the whole game. Low amount of tries, but almost all of them were accurate. 186 yards, 1 touchdown. Chase Edmonds had 6 carries, 21 yards, 3.5 average, 2 touchdowns. This is classic Chase Edmonds. He's always been a bullnose, final yard line kind of guy who could run it in, get it. The star of the show, though, was Jaylen Waddle, Tua's old Alabama buddy. 4 receptions, 102 yards, 25.5 average. This man on every reception was running a quarter of the field. What was going on with that Bills secondary that we know is good? Even when the second strings came in with all the injuries, we know the Bills secondary has a star-studded secondary. They've been able to stop multiple good teams with backups. So what happened? Maybe the Bills can fix it next week, but I think the Dolphins are going to go undefeated at least till game 10. Don't quote me that, but I see it. Taysom Hill, the speedster, the cheetah, everyone knows this guy. 2 receptions, 33 yards, 16.5 average. This man was able to get his 15 yards and then some both times he touched the ball, which was probably very crucial. Well, it was crucial. I watched the game. Very crucial turning points. They needed Hill. He showed up. He played. Their tight end, Smythe. Gesicki's not getting used, and that's okay, but Smythe's just as good. 3 receptions, 23 yards, 7.7 average. Good for a tight end. Not really numbers Gesicki could put up if he could play. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if they keep using the Smythe-Gesicki combo. But Gesicki does get hit every game. He's not overlooked. We're going to leave it at that. The Dolphins have weapons. They know how to use them. Cray Kraft, 1 reception, 11 yards, 1 touchdown. That was probably just a simple, hey, I need you at this moment. Show up or shut up. And he showed up. Good for them. Dolphins take it over a very stout Bills team. Now let's focus off the Dolphins to Josh Allen. 63 pass attempts, 42 completions, 400 yards, and 2 touchdowns. With stats like that, how did you not win the game? We'll touch base on that later. Josh Allen also had the most running yards out of the whole team. He had 8 carries, 47 yards, and a 5.9 average. More carries than the running back. At Zach Moss with 4 carries, 46 yards, 11.5 average. But that just shows you that Lamar Jackson is not the only quarterback that can break away, make those plays you need to. I predict Allen's going to have multiple 400-yard season, whether it's rushing and passing combined or just total. Devin Singletary, he didn't do much running back. But this game, he was a receiver. 9 receptions, 78 yards, 8.7 average, 1 touchdown. You don't get too many running backs who can play like a wide receiver, and they have a really good dual threat running back in Devin Singletary. The Bills can get it together defensively and figure out how to cover high speed teams like the Dolphins on offense. They could not struggle or lose a close game again. McKenzie, 7 receptions, 76 yards, 10.9 average, and 1 touchdown. Good numbers, considering Josh Allen is a guy who hits all of his wide receivers, all of his playmakers, and never misses a beat and knows how to hit who he wants to hit. Another surprise this week, Stephon Diggs was not the top receiver for the Bills. It was, like I said, Devin Singletary. Stephon Diggs had 7 receptions, 74 yards, 10.6 average, and 0 touchdowns. Diggs was also going in and out of the game for cramps. He's not used to the heat. He's one of them northern boys like me. Can't handle it. It's all good. He'll come back next week and be one of the top 5 receivers of that week again. My opinion, Dolphins are just better defensively right now. They're unstoppable. I've seen them in 3 games do some crazy stuff. Do goal line stops with 1 yard like they did with the Bills. They had multiple defensive stops where they had to kick, field goal, whatever it may be. The Dolphins were able to make those plays to where they were able to take a lead. And it didn't happen until the second half, and that's okay. Slow start to a win is better than no start to a loss. What finally did it was the final fourth quarter 1 yard stand, not much time left. They were able to stop them not once, not twice, but 3 different times. One time on the goal line, they were able to stop them at the last 3 seconds and make the Bills use all their timeouts before that, enough to where Allen could not spike the ball with 3 seconds within field goal range. If it wasn't for their defense, I don't think they would have won that game. But they're just very structurally sound right now. This is where I go over my top 5 skill positions. This week I'm going to focus on wide receivers again. Just like how they are. Just like the whole concept of receivers. Everyone's like, well, the quarterback this, the quarterback that, blah, 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 on the quarterback. Let's focus on the people who make the plays. Let's talk about how Joe Burrow leaned on Tyler Boyd this week for 4 receptions, 105 yards, with a 26.2 average and 1 touchdown. Just like Waddle in the other game, 25 yards per catch. That's just ridiculous. And considering he has Jamar Chase and Higgins on that team, Boyd was able to get the job done this week. Number 2 for this week is Jaylen Waddle. 4 receptions, 102 yards, 25.5 average. We talked about enough on the Dolphins thing. I just expect this kid to keep going places, maybe be in the running for Offensive Player of the Year. Who knows? It might go to Boyd, it might go to Jefferson, it might go to Coop, Cup. Any of those 3 receivers can be a Triple Crown winner this year, I believe it. Hollins, he had 8 receptions, 158 yards, 19.2 average, and 1 touchdown. If you break that down, he was able to catch, run, and produce yardage every single time and wasn't hit most of the time he got the ball. He was able to run and go. Devontae Smith, Eagles, 8 receptions, 169 yards, 21.1 average, and 1 touchdown. Everyone saw this coming out of the kid as soon as he got picked up for the Eagles. They saw what he did in college. They saw why a wide receiver was in the running for Heisman and actually won it, which is the first time in a while in college history that a wide receiver was able to win the Heisman and be recognized upon other achievements he had that year. Devontae Parker, he left the Dolphins, went to the Patriots. He has 5 receptions, 156 yards, 31.2 average. I believe with Mac Jones, he's going to be able to go back to his rookie 2 years that he did with the Dolphins, putting up easy 1,200, 1,300-yard seasons. My top 3 for each division. Top 3 AFC, we know number 1 is going to be my Dolphins. Like I said, I want them to go this year. It has been 50 years, and they're still the only team with a fully undefeated season. Maybe they can do it again. Number 2, I am going to have to say the Bills. The Dolphins were able to beat them. What I said before, though, the defense won it at the end. I feel like if they played each other again, as long as the Bills learned, they could win. But the Dolphins' speed on offense is just too much. The safeties and the cornerbacks and the secondary for the Bills just can't keep up. And I don't think they will with other teams like out of division games. Never know. Number three is Chiefs, though. This is where I'm a little confused because the Chiefs have been number one in the AFC for 3 years now. Maybe four. Yeah. Four. But they haven't been showing the dominance. They're not there this year. Top three NFC, Eagles. The two undefeated teams are my two top ones right now. Eagles, Jalen Hurts, and the Devontae Smith tag team. And let's not even forget about Miles Sanders. Just offensively, this team is fast, they're young, they're hungry. They don't want to be the NFC haha no more. They want to soar in and win another Super Bowl. They have won since the beginning of their start of the franchise. Number two is my wife's, and I agree with her. Jags, they're looking good. Trevor Lawrence is finally getting it together. His comeback year might be this year, or his year that everyone was expecting from him is going to happen this year. Number three, the Rams. Very controversial. Rams with Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp. May I go on? You guys know the routine with them. They're just stout. Defensively, offensively, coordinators, coaching, there's not too much about them that isn't known, so we're going to see how that goes. Back to the AFC, though, I'm going to put in a squeaking top three. If the Chargers can come back from that disappointing loss to the Jags, I believe the Chargers, this is their year for the playoffs, and I believe Herbert is going to lead that team. Maybe a wild card. Who knows? Definitely the Ravens, though. I see them coming in for sure. Lamar Jackson's looking too good. There was a lot of contract issues with him. He's trying to prove a point that he is worth that money. So you go, man. You go. My two fill-ins for the NFC. I'm going to say the Packs. We know Rodgers can't seal the deal in the playoffs, but I'd like to see him go without Devontae Adams because everyone was like, oh, Devontae Adams is what made you. Now, Aaron Rodgers is who made Devontae Adams. Let's be real. Rodgers, through his history of the Green Bay Packers, has been able to do that with a lot of no-names. I'm not even going to get into details on that one. We just know. And number five, this one is confusing. I want to say the Bucks, but Brady, let's not go there. Let's definitely not go there. Let's see. Commanders are looking all right. Seahawks are... they're the Seahawks. I'm going to say the Panthers. Let's go with them. I think Mayfield, with his new team, with his running back, Christian McCaffrey, we know about Christian McCaffrey. Run, white boy, run. Not my saying, just the saying that goes about him. He's gonna stay healthy this year. Plus, Robbie Anderson, ever since he left the Jets, guy's been virtually unstoppable with the Panthers. Last year, 1,000-yard receiver. This year, I'm seeing it already. There's not much to him. He's literally catch and run. Another thing I want to touch on is Super Bowls. I'm going to just say what my wife predicts. She says it's going to be the Jags on the NFC side. I don't see them beating an Eagles team the way they're playing this year. And for the AFC, I'm going to say Dolphins. Tua is doing too good. He's not throwing a lot of passes, but he is relying on his speedsters like Waddle, Hill, Edmonds, using every single weapon. If you look through the roster sheet of active skill players like wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, Tua doesn't miss a step. He gives everyone some love. You get a ball. He's like Oprah Winfrey on the field. Everyone gets a ball. And everyone on that team knows how to utilize it. Hill's teaching Waddle, perhaps the two fastest receivers in the NFL right now. Actually, as of last week, if you heard the announcements, Waddle and Hill are both the fastest wide receivers in pads. Jamar Chase is faster than both of them outside of pads. But we all know show-off speed and in-game speed are completely different. It was a pleasure talking to y'all. I hope you have a good night and enjoy the next show.
All right, guys, thank you for tuning in to the Trim Radio Network and Slobberknocker with Austin Neely and Offsides with Michael Bejas. Anyway, coming up next, We are going to have Take Point 22, but we are going to do a replay tonight. I've got some things that I have to take care of, some personal things. So we will hit that next. Stay tuned. And you guys will catch us again live next week on Take Point 22. Till then, God bless, be well, love one another. I'll tell you what, it's a tough time in this world. But we'll be right here. Thanks, guys, for tuning in all the time. And we are so, so blessed to have you all here. And with that, we are out of here.
Once upon a time, you were 25, walking up the aisle. You made the promise of your life. Blink twice and you were 29, singing lullabies. And I looked up at you for the first time. Words fall short, and I am sure there'll never be anyone like you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're an unsung hero, so I sing this song for you.